Good morning. If you looked at your programs, you've seen the topic this morning is Don't Look Down. You'll understand that shortly. I'd like to start off with reading Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14. And he also told a parable of certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house more justified than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. A proud person tends to look down and scoff at others, make comments about someone's looks or opinions or their habits. Those comments are little chunks of pride. Putting down others in any way is building yourself up to be better than them in some way. When you do that, a proud attitude is cutting another person down to elevate yourself, even if it's done inwardly and not outwardly. We should all be willing to watch for that. It is an uncomfortable feeling to have someone look down on you if you've ever experienced it or even perceive it to be happening to you. Most people, when they're slighted, are aware. It can cause them to drift away from Christ if it's done by one of us. If you go to John 13, verses 5 through 17. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. And he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, What I do now, you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. Peter said unto him, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered to him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. I'll wash my feet only, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he who knew the one was betraying him, for this reason he said, Not all of you are clean. And so when he had washed their feet and taken their garments and reclined to the table again, he said unto them, Do you not know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have gave you an example that you should always do as I did unto you. Truly I say unto you, a slave is not greater than the master, neither is one who sent greater than the one who sent him. For you know these things, and you are blessed if you do them. What is our attitude toward each other? Do you think there are people in the assembly today that you are better than? That you're higher than? Do you look at another brother or sister and say that, or think that they're beneath you? Isaiah 65 and 5. Who say, Keep unto yourself and do not come near me, for I am holier than you? These are smoke in my nostrils and a fire that burns all day. This is how upset God gets about this. God hates this attitude. Do we buy houses and cars and such things so that we can feel good about ourselves and to look down at others because we have something they don't? Or we're in a class that they're not? If so, that is sin. This is pride. Do we look down at somebody and say that person is just weird? God doesn't want that attitude. If we go to James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into the assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you sit over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those that love him? But you have dishonored this poor man, the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin, and you are convicted by the law as transgressors. Treat each other as if they are your brother and sister. Do not make judgments against one another. Love one another like you want to spend eternity with that person, and that you are happy that they are here. We have an example of someone who failed to be glad for someone who was repentant in the Bible. If you go back to Luke, the 15th chapter, it's a story that we all know pretty well, or we should. And we'll start with the 25th verse of this story. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what this might be. And he said unto him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back and safe and sound. But he became angry, and he was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began entreating him to come. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I have never neglected to come. A command of yours, and yet you have never given me a kid that I may be merry with my friends. But when his son, when this son of yours comes in that has devoured your wealth and with harlots, and you have killed the fatted calf for him, and he said to him, my child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. The older son looked down scornfully at his brother because of what he had done. But his brother was repentant. This attitude is much like us if we treat someone poorly, if they come back to church after a time of being away. No matter what our feelings might be, we need to be able to forgive them if they're making an effort, just as we want them and our other people to treat us if we had done the same. We are not above another person because it took them longer to understand what they need to do. God gave them length of days to give them time to change. Praise be to God for that. It is a feeling of self-righteousness instead of Christ's interest in a sinner's repentance being reflected in us if we're not willing to take them back. Everyone here has an importance to God. Some of us are struggling right now more than others. Embrace each other always. The only time the Bible says to shun another member is if they are engaged in sinful activities and is confronted about it and they're unwilling to change. In Matthew 18:17, we're given this scripture. If we look down at each other here on earth, how can we be fit to love each other in heaven? There will be no cliques in heaven. We need to love each other as Christ did. Sincere love for our brothers and sisters. We go over to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 28. For even as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If a foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again to the head or feet, I have no need of you. Or on the contrary, it is much truer than the members of the body which seem to be weaker or necessary. And those members of the body which we deem as less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. Whereas our seemly members have no need of it, but God hath so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the members which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, and that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, and then all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and miracles, and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. God created us with different personalities, different mannerisms, and differences, looks, and weaknesses. Can we look at each other? Can we love each other anyway? Can we be an aid to each other like we should? We go earlier this morning, Brandon read Philippians 2, 1 through 18. I'd like to reread a little portion of that. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, content on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with the humility of mind, let each of us regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Christ Christ set the ultimate example of humility. He was above all of us, but acted as though he was lower than us. He washed his apostles' feet. He was baptized by John, and he had no sin to wash away. He did it to fulfill all righteousness. I can't see Christ looking down on someone because of their personality differences, or their looks, or their social status. He wouldn't, nor should we. At the same time, we wouldn't want to look down on one another. We need to examine ourselves. We are not beyond reproach. 1 John 1, 8-10, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and that the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." We become a hypocrite if we criticize others and we're fine with our own sins, and people see us doing these things that are not a reflection of Christ. I was talking with a coworker recently, and this guy is a really nice guy to everybody, and he's friends instantly almost with anybody that he talks to. And we started talking, and we had a conversation for a while, and church became a part of that conversation, and he asked me, "What church do you attend?" I told him I attend the Church of Christ. And he said that he was a Church of Christ member as well, and I had no idea. That was a good feeling to hear. When we got to talking some more about it, and we started talking about baptism, and his wife, he mentioned, was wanting him to baptize their kids when they were old enough. But he told me that he didn't feel worthy, because he says when he leaves church, he acts just like everybody else in the world that he encounters. His language is filthy, and he tries to blend in. So he didn't feel worthy of baptizing his children. This is what we need to avoid. This individual has an incredible personality and could get along with anyone that he meets without conforming to the world. He could be a light to it. Romans 12:1-2. "I urge you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." None of us is perfect, but we need to be conforming to God's ways and being as good of a servant as we can be. 1 Timothy 6:11-12, it says, "But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Recently, on Facebook, I believe it was Don that shared this post, and it was titled, "Church Hurt." If being hurt by the church causes you to lose faith in God, then your faith was in people, not in God. Very fitting, because it is true. If others' weaknesses cause you to lose your faith, then your faith was in the person, in the other Christian, and not in the Creator as it should have been. If we focus on God, then we'll never truly be let down, because He never makes a mistake. If you go to Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, verses 30 through 33. But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who walk about you by the walls and the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now, and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and sit before you as my people, and hear your words, but they do not do them, for they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes out after their gain. And behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, and surely it will, that they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. This is what we are striving to be, a good example to those around us, so that they know who they are with. They're with a Christian that follows Christ. We need to be compassionate to each other, which means working together to help each other get to our ultimate goal, which is heaven. Romans 13, verse 9 and 10. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. In an overview, it seems to me that those that complain about the reason they leave the church or are thinking about leaving it is people are hypocritical or just looking for a reason to leave. We all have faults, and all are humans with weaknesses. Being Christians isn't about being perfect. None of us are that. It's about making proper life choices in order to please God and trying to loosen ourselves from Satan's grip on us by trusting in God and looking to Him. Can we still love each other and treat each other with respect despite our differences? Can we work together? Have you been looking down on each other in some way? Have you ever been lifting yourself up by looking down on another brother or sister? That's not the way God wants His family to be, wants His church to be. We're supposed to be loving to each other, and that's what fulfilling Christ's word is. If you've not done that in your life, and you want to make a change, if you have other problems that need to be dealt with, and you want to come forward and recognize those, if you have not accepted Christ in your life and accepted that He is the Son of God and died for our sins so that we could be accepting and pleasing to God, if you want to make that confession and be baptized, you have that opportunity at this time as we stand and sing.